All right.
All right.
If you work at a place where you stick your head in an alligator's mouth, I'm not sure this bring your child to work thing is a good idea either in that circumstance, but...
Depends on the kid.
Indeed it does. Well, welcome everybody. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor for Redemption Church.
Yo.
I'm glad to have fellowship with you all. And we're talking about what is and what isn't.
All right.
In case you haven't picked up on it by now, it's important. It's really important to know what is and what isn't.
Yeah.
We've talked about who Jesus is and who Jesus isn't. We've talked about what the church is and what the church isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about faith. What faith is and what faith isn't.
All right.
But before I get ahead of myself, I can't highlight it enough. It is important to know what is and what isn't for many reasons, including it's important to know so that you know what you have. You may have something and not even know it if you don't know what it is. You may think you have something and you really don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to know what is and what isn't. Thinking about that brought to mind a news story I read a couple years ago, but similar ones come out every time a new piece of technology comes out.
All right.
The one that I'm thinking of, I read in the paper, this poor lady, when the iPads first came out, they were a real hot iPad. Everybody was lining up at the Apple store. They were in limited supply.
Yeah.
You couldn't get one. So this lady, somehow through Craigslist or something, she arranged with this guy that he had a couple iPads. And he was willing to meet her at a gas station, and he would sell her his iPads for a little bit of a markup because they're hard to get. And she could have a couple iPads to take home for Christmas or whatever.
Yeah.
So she met this guy and gave him the money. He gave her these iPad boxes and she took them home, opened the box, and there was no iPad in the box. She didn't know what she had. You need to know what is and what isn't in the box. And so she went to the police and said, "Hey, this guy ripped me off." And they said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. Buyer beware. There's nothing we can really do. Why didn't you look in the box when you got it?" But nevertheless, you need to know what is and what isn't.
That's right.
Similar things probably happen to many of us. If you've ever bought a warranty, you buy something that comes with a warranty, and you think, "Oh, that's great. I'm covered. If anything happens, I got a warranty. It's great," like on your car.
Yeah.
Then something goes out. And you say, "Oh, well, thank goodness I got the warranty.
Thank goodness I paid all that."
You take it back to the dealership, and you say, "Hey, the Whosit's broke." And they say, "Oh, I'm really sorry. The Whosit's not covered in your warranty." You thought you had a warranty. You thought you were protected.
Yeah, that's good.
But you didn't know what is and isn't covered.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the whole premise behind the Antiques Roadshow program and all these pawn store shows. I have to be careful how I pronounce that. The pawn shows on TV. People have items. Sometimes they think they're really valuable. They go and have experts take a look and they say, "No, that's really a piece of junk. Here, I got one from the dollar store earlier today." Or sometimes they bring in like, "Oh, my grandma had this weird clock." And they're like, "Oh, that's an ancient Victorian antique thing, it's worth $20,000. And they had no idea. It was just a weird clock to them until they found out what it is or what it isn't. You need to know what is and what isn't so that you know what you have.
Good.
And I've got good news for you. We're talking about faith tonight. Every single person in this room has faith. I can say that with certainty. I wrote that without knowing who would be here tonight. But it doesn't matter. Anybody, you could have been in church your whole life. You have faith. This could be the first time you've ever been in church. You have faith. Someone could be listening on the internet who's an avowed atheist. If you hear my voice, you have faith. I stand by that. Everyone has faith. We were actually built to have faith.
Yeah.
It's built into us. We want to have faith in something. So, hold on a second. What is faith? Let's make sure we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
What is faith? Faith is trust. Trust in something. Confidence in something. We all want to be able to trust in something, and we all do. I can't think of a single person who doesn't trust in something. It may not be God. It may be yourself. It may be just that the floor is solid. But you trust. We trust in many things. The Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says that God has given us each a measure of faith. It's built into all of us. Hebrews 11 and 1. If you want to find out more about faith than we discussed tonight, the Bible is a great place to look.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible has a lot to say about faith. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter is called the faith chapter, because it mentions faith like every verse. If you have a concordance in your Bible and you look up faith, half of the entry is going to be just from that one chapter.
Yeah.
But it starts out describing faith in this way. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certainty, trust, that's faith. Everyone has faith in something.
Yeah.
Did anybody here today, when you woke up this morning, you were about to get out of bed, how many people paused for a moment and said, whoa, am I sure that I'm not just going to sink through the floor and go to the core of the earth? Did anybody take a time out and think through that? Nobody? Okay, well, so let me ask this instead. Anybody here, has anybody here begun making plans, making preparations in case the sun doesn't come up tomorrow? Because that's going to be real bad, and you should probably have some stuff in place if that, and nobody? No, well, exactly. We all have faith in certain things. We trust that the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even people who don't have faith in God. But, again, to clarify our terms, to make sure we're all on the same page, in the Bible, when it talks about faith, almost every time it's talking about faith in Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah.
And often when we refer to faith, that's what we're talking about.
Mm.
Faith in God, faith in Christ. Because that's the most real thing that you can have faith in. You can have faith that the sun's going to rise tomorrow. You can have faith that the floor is solid. You can have faith in yourself. You can have faith in your friends and your family. But who made all that stuff? The Bible says that in Christ all things hold together.
Yeah.
That by his word of power, he holds things together. Everything you know, every truth about the universe was put in place by God. There's nothing more real than him.
Yeah.
You can have faith that the sun's going to rise tomorrow, but there are stars, the sun's a star, there are other stars that have come into existence and burned out over the course of billions of years, and God watched it all happen because he was there before and he will be here long after. There is nothing more substantial, more trustworthy, that you can put your faith in than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so, Jesus talked a lot about faith. And often he would ask his disciples, where is your faith? When they're out on the sea in the storm. The storm comes up and Jesus is asleep below deck, and they're afraid for their life. And so they go and wake Jesus up and say, hey, Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care? Can you do something about this? He calms the storm, and then he turns and says, where is your faith? Because they had faith, but they weren't putting it in Jesus.
Yeah.
Their faith was in the boat. The boat was going to get them across the lake until that storm came along. Then they were kind of believing that this storm was more powerful than the boat, and the ocean's more powerful than them, so there's a good chance we're going to die. They forgot that Jesus Christ is with them.
Right.
Where were they putting their faith? And I ask you tonight, where do you put your faith? But faith in Christ isn't easy.
Sure.
Faith is a struggle. Faith isn't silly. A lot of times in the world, the world tries to convince us that faith in God is a silly thing. It's mysticism. It's a mythology. They've coined a new term recently, magical thinking. Because they imply that, well, we can't handle reality. You can't handle the real world, so you have to make up this invisible thing that's going to, like, solve all your problems for you. That's not true. Faith in God isn't silly. It isn't a crutch. It's just faith in something that we know to be more real than anything else.
Absolutely.
Everyone has faith in something.
Sure.
The most learned scientist, if he is not a believer and wants to come up with a rational explanation for the universe, there are leaps that he has to make. Where did it all start? Oh, back at the Big Bang. Well, where did that come from? Well, I'm sure there's a scientific process that can explain that, and I believe, you have faith that you can explain it somehow, that there is a natural cause to all this.
That's good.
People who may not be the most nerdy scientists, but they just say, no, I mean, faith is dumb, believing in this being that lives in the sky and is invisible. That sounds silly. I mean, why should I have faith? I want something solid. I want something I can get my hands around before I'm going to believe in it. Well, do they understand the workings of the subatomic particles that make up the molecules of the floor that they're standing on? Do they have a complete understanding of that before they put their trust in it? Do they? I don't even understand how my car works completely.
Right.
But every day I get in it and start it up and trust that it's going to get me to work.
Yeah.
Everybody has faith in something. But faith isn't having all the answers.
Right.
Instead, the Bible refers to it this way, that we have to fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a struggle. The world tries to tell you that faith is silly, faith is unnecessary, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
But you have to fight and struggle against that to hold on to what you put your faith in. And sometimes we even have to struggle against ourselves. Faith isn't having all the answers. I, as an engineer, I love to understand things. It's a lot easier for me to trust in something that I understand. But let me tell you, you're never going to completely understand God.
Yeah.
And neither am I. God is infinite. And that's not a knock on any one of us, or some kind of shortfall. God is just bigger than we are.
Yeah.
God is infinite, and we will never be able to fully comprehend all that He is. So if you're waiting to understand God completely before you'll put your faith in Him, you're never going to put your faith in Him.
Yeah.
You can read every book that's ever been written on God. You can read every translation of the Bible. There will always be more to learn about Him.
That's good.
Faith doesn't mean that you have a complete understanding. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says that we need to be able to give an answer for the hope that is within us. We need to be able to explain why we have faith, why we trust in God. But that doesn't mean you have to explain every detail in the Bible. If you have friends who aren't believers and they say, oh, the Bible's full of all kind of conflicts and errors and stuff. What? Look at this. It says the sun stood still. Well, the sun doesn't move. How does that happen? You don't have to be able to explain all of that. You just need to be able to understand, to be able to explain how you know God and why you put your trust in Him.
Yeah.
We will never completely understand God, but we can still have faith in Him.
Mm-hmm.
We have to fight the good fight of faith. Those are Paul's words in his letter to Timothy. He encouraged Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. He used this imagery a couple times. That's why I say faith is a struggle, because Paul repeatedly refers to faith as fight wording, fight imagery. I've run the race. I've fought the good fight. Because we struggle against the world that tries to tell us that faith is irrelevant, or worse, that it's harmful. People who don't put their faith in God, who put their faith in material things, want confidence. They want certainty in the thing that they put their faith in. And when they encounter people who put their faith in something greater, something that they say is greater than the world, that's sort of a threat to what they put their trust in.
Right.
So they can get assurance in their faith by tearing yours down. Well, in a way, that kind of shows their faith may not be as strong as they think it is to begin with. We shouldn't be the same. We know what we believe in. Our faith is in God. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And that doesn't mean making fun of other people for their beliefs. We just have to testify to what we know to be true. Because it is the most real thing that there is. And again, faith is a struggle, not always with the world around us, oftentimes with ourselves. Let me tell you who I struggle with the most about my faith. Me. Because there's often times where I know what I should do, but I also know what I want to do, and maybe I can, why am I really doing this? Is it really worth it? Is all this really real? You have to continue, you have to persevere in your faith to what you know to be true. Faith isn't a preference.
Right.
Well, what day is it? Well, who's playing tonight? Is there a football game on? Oh, it's some team I don't care about, so I'll go to church. I'll have faith tonight. It's a good time for me to have faith. That person looks like they're hurting, and I sort of feel like I should go pray with them, but they look kind of dumb, and I'm in a hurry. I won't have faith right now. I'll pick it back up later. That's not faith.
Right.
Faith isn't a personal preference.
No.
Faith isn't just a mental activity. It's not just mental assent. You can't turn it on or turn it off. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. I said it. I thought it. I'm good, right? That's it. That's all I have to do. I can go about my life. I have faith. You heard it. No, that's not faith.
Yeah.
Faith comes from within.
Yes.
Faith comes from somewhere deeper. And faith moves you. Sometimes even when you don't want to be moved. Faith sometimes takes you places that you don't, in your flesh, don't really want to go. I got better things to do, but there's something inside that tells me this is what I need to be doing. I believe in God's word. I believe in what He says, and according to that, I need to go pray with this person. I need to make sure that they know about this Christ who died for them. That there is hope in Him, no matter what they're going through, no matter what they're struggling with. If I could plan out my day, I might not put in time to pray and read the Bible and do things like that, but I know I need those things. Deep down inside, I need to be in touch with God.
Yeah.
And I know that He wants to be in touch with me, and I believe that this God of the universe is willing to talk to me. Mm. So when I have the opportunity, I very much want to be talking to Him.
Yeah.
Faith moves us. Faith causes action. Again, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it lists out a long list of people from the Old Testament. And it describes each one of them this way. By faith, person did this. And there, oftentimes it's not something that they would have chosen to do. It wasn't necessarily super beneficial for them. But by faith, they did it. And you can see in the Bible where it led to. By faith, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees to go to a place that God would show him. He left his family and all that he had to go to a place that God didn't even tell him where it was. It's, when you get there, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11 is full of accounts like this. By faith, Noah. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Sarah. Faith moves us. And so, faith isn't invisible. A lot of times we think faith is a mental state. It's a internal thing, right? Faith is not invisible. You can, again, back to Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So, what we can put our faith in may not be visible, but the faith itself,
right.
I would tell you, it is visible.
Right.
Because all throughout the Gospels, it talks about Jesus looked on their faith. Jesus encounters people and He looks upon their faith. And this isn't a magical God superpower. You can see people's faith in action. When some men had a friend who was paralyzed and they wanted to take him to Jesus, but the house that Jesus was in was too crowded and they couldn't get him in the door.
Right.
They went up on the roof and they cut a hole and lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. And it says, Jesus looked on their faith. He could see they were willing. They had so much faith in Him, they had to get their friend to his feet. They were willing to cut a hole in the roof and lower him down. Jesus could see that faith. We can see that faith today when we read that scripture.
Yes.
And we can see faith in action in the world around us today. You can see faith in people's lives. Faith is active.
Yeah.
Faith is a living thing. Are you aware of this? The Bible says in the book of James that faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. So faith can be dead or it can be alive. Faith is a living thing. So you can kind of think of it this way. They say some sharks have to swim in order to stay alive. They have to keep moving to keep water moving over their gills in order to breathe. And if they ever stop, they'll die. They have to keep swimming. They have to keep moving. Faith is the same way. It's active. It has to keep moving. Because faith without works, if it's not causing some action, it's dead faith. And you can see action. Again, faith isn't just a mental activity.
Right.
We do need to believe in Christ. I believe it with all my heart. But if I truly believe it, that's going to influence what I do.
Yes.
That's going to influence my life and how I behave.
Yes.
Faith isn't a checklist, and it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. These are some misconceptions we have about faith.
All right.
Faith isn't a list of rules. Man, it'd be easy if it was. Again, as an engineer, I like checklists. I like to be able to know when I'm done. To some people, they think you got these certain things, and if you do them periodically, if you do them every day, then you must have faith. I prayed today.
Check.
I went to church this week.
Yeah.
I put some money in the offering.
Yeah.
I must have faith. I mean, God has to, like, reward me because I'm doing these things.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm a good person. No, that's not faith. Well, really it is. That is a kind of faith. That's not faith in Christ. That's faith that you, in yourself, can do what it takes to make God happy.
Yeah.
But that's not faith in Christ.
No.
Because when you get to the end of that checklist, real faith motivates you to go further, to move beyond that. You come into situations that you never even thought to put on your checklist.
Yeah, come on.
And Jesus moves you.
Preach.
The Spirit moves you to take action in that situation because you have faith that the God we serve can do something here, that people need to know the truth about this wonderful God that loves us.
Yes.
Faith isn't a list of rules. And sometimes you hear this in church. Oh, brother, if you just had more faith, you know, that problem you're having, that would go away. You know, oh, we're just going to have faith, and God's going to open the heavens and pour out money on us. If we all have enough faith, God's going to prosper us and bless us. We're going to be swimming in money here pretty soon. Hey, if we all, okay, everybody, get together with me. We're going to have faith, and this room is suddenly going to be filled with people. Amen? No.
Come on.
That's not faith. How it works. Faith isn't like a miracle card you can pull out of your pocket and just make God do things. And if you're having problems, that's not a sign that you don't have faith.
Come on, Dad.
Because that's where that thinking goes. If, oh man, if I'm having this problem, I must not have enough faith. I must be a really terrible Christian, because otherwise why would God let this happen to me? I got to have more faith somehow. And it's really hard because I'm going through these struggles and they make me question. Have peace. Because that's not faith.
All right. That's good.
Faith doesn't guarantee a problem-free life. In fact, Jesus himself said to his disciples, these were the men that walked with him, who saw him perform these miracles. This was the night before he was crucified. He says to his disciples, in this world, you will have problems. Now, of anybody in the world, at that point, you would think they would have the most faith of anybody. They saw him walk on water.
Yeah.
Who is going to have more faith than these guys? And he tells them, this is God, in the form of Jesus, talking directly to them. There's only 11 guys here, plus Jesus. And he says, in this world, you're going to have problems. And it came to pass. All but one of them were crucified. John was boiled in oil and still didn't die, which sounds really terrible. But that's not the whole verse. I love this verse. It comes from the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus starts out, I tell you this, that you may have peace. In this world, you will have problems. That's an interesting way to give me peace, Jesus. Hold on, let me finish. I tell you this, that you may have peace. In this world, you will have problems. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. You can put your faith in me. You can trust in me. When you have problems, problems are going to come. Don't be surprised by them. That's not a sign that I don't love you. You will have problems. We live in a broken world. Things go wrong all the time. But Jesus has overcome the world. And we can put our faith in him to see us through anything that this world throws at us.
Yeah.
Problems may come, but Jesus is faithful.
Yeah, he is.
Jesus is faithful to stand by us through any trial, through any problem. We can put our trust in him that he will be there with us. And that's powerful.
Yeah.
Faith
is
powerful.
Amen.
Oftentimes when we start talking about faith, the thing my mind goes to is when Jesus told his followers, oh, if you just had faith the size of a grain of mustard, you could speak to that mountain and it would be moved. You could speak to this mulberry tree and it would be cast into the sea. Faith is powerful. Faith can do incredible things. But even more importantly than that, faith is essential. It's not a question. Everyone has faith in something, but everyone needs to have faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You need to. It is essential. And not just because I'm a Christian, so I have to think that you need to know about Jesus. I do believe that. I believe every person needs to know about him. But the Bible says it. Again, back to the faith chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you believe this God exists, then our whole motivation should be to please him.
Yeah.
He made us. He loves us. He died for us to save us. Yes. There is nothing I can do in my life that's better than pleasing him. If something makes him happy and brings him joy, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to do that. But without faith, that's impossible.
Man.
You can't. But that shouldn't sound like a giant hurdle that you have to jump over.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to speak to a mulberry tree and have it cast into the ocean before you can begin to have any hope of pleasing God.
All right.
Because look at the rest of that verse. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. That's the seeds of faith. You believe that he is there. And not just that, he's a good God. And if you seek him, if you earnestly seek him, he'll reward your search. He'll reach out to you. And we serve a good God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So, at Redemption Church, we do three things. We're about to do the third thing, which is we talk to God. We believe that this wonderful God is present here tonight with us. We put our faith in that. So we're about to talk to God. And tonight, I would encourage you to let your faith be active. Let it move you as you talk to God. I would encourage you to stand up. Take a step away from where you're sitting. Move. Faith is active. It moves us to do something.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you tonight, take a step of faith to stand up and talk to our God. Faith doesn't mean you have all the answers. All you need to start out is a belief that God exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is powerful. So as we come and talk to God, I'd ask you tonight, where is your faith? If you need special prayer tonight, I trust in God. He is faithful and true. I love talking to him, and I would love to pray with you if you have a need here tonight. If you have something that you want to lift up to God in prayer, and the Bible says there's power in agreement. There's power when Christians get together and pray together to God. If you would like someone to pray with you about something, we've designated this rug that it's a sign.
A holy rug.
That there's nothing magical about this rug. It's more for you. If you want prayer, you can stand on this rug as a sign to us, hey, I want prayer. I mean, you could just grab one of us and say, hey, I want prayer, and I'd be happy to pray with you. But if you're not on the rug, if you don't grab us, if you don't get our attention, we're not going to mess with you. We want to let you live out your faith as it moves you. So come. Now's the time. Let us talk to God.
Thank you, Lord, for being with us. There is another one. We love you, Jesus. Amen, God. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you.
I believe in God's word. I believe that when he says there's power, praying together.
Yeah.
But that's true.
Yes.
So if you don't mind, I'd like to gather up, join hands, and pray for this community. Because there's a bunch of people that live here that need to know Jesus Christ. They don't need to come to Redemption Church. They need to know Jesus. So if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you for your presence.
Thank you for all those people that we've made this check to, Lord. We appreciate it, Lord. We talk with them. We have this work in some of them, Lord. We live the work with them, Lord. We do the backpack, Lord. We live life with them, Jesus. So move in their hearts, God. Give us access to this, God. Give us opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Give us an opportunity to pray with them, God. Give us an opportunity to love them, God, for others. This is your community. We give it to you, Lord. This is your church. We give it to you. We have to be faithful and peaceful in it, God. Let your life move, God. Move and share, oh God. We just keep it from your body right now. We've loaded all our friends that are here tonight. Be with them, even though they aren't in this room right now, Jesus. You're with us, God. Move the hearts. Lord, you please the hearts, Jesus. Lord, people that are hooked on drugs in this apartment community, Lord, we pray freedom to them, God. Let them come to this place. Let them find freedom, God. The people, Lord, that are in an abusive relationship, let them come to this place. Let them find freedom from that. Lord, in Jesus' name, move, God, of people's hearts. Lord Jesus, people that don't know you, Lord, move them, God, to them in their lives. Jesus, help us to grow a relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, open up the door for his job, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, open up the door for him to move here if that's your will, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for everyone in this room. Thank you, Jesus, for moving in our hearts, Jesus. He is so real, Jesus. The most real thing is you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus' name, amen.
Stay right there in the circle. The service goes right here. We do three things when we come, but we also do three things when we leave. And number one is that we all, we connect with God during the week. Not just now. The connection you feel with God can be felt tomorrow. Yeah. I love that about God. God would kind of suck. Right? If the only time you can connect with him is if you've got the pastor with you and a worship leader in a congregation.
God doesn't have office hours.
God does not have office hours. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, come back at 2.
Come back at 2.
Yeah. So connect with God this week, all right? And then number two, connect with other believers. The people right here, connect with them. There's so many ways to connect. If you can't connect face-to-face, some of us don't live in the same city, we can get on the interwebs, we can talk. I mean, there's phone calls, there's all kinds of stuff we can do to hang out. And then, of course, there's connect groups, right? Connect groups are meeting this Thursday here and Wednesday out towards Plano. I mean, hang out there. Don't miss it. You know, I really know how the devil works, okay? The devil is very predictable. He always tries to isolate you and get you alone and then beat the crap out of you. That's what he tries to do. All right, guess what? It's way hard for him to do that if you're connecting with God and when you're connecting with other believers. So yeah, connect with other believers. And then finally, connect other people to the love of Jesus. There's so many hurting people, and you would be so shocked how just a kind word or a wonderful word to them, just as simple as can be, can just change someone's life. Quick testimony, we meet at a staff meeting at Potbelly Sandwich shop on most Mondays. And there was this guy that I noticed that looked a lot like a personal friend of all of ours. And I went and struck up a conversation with him, thinking nothing of it. I was just trying to be friendly and got to meet this guy. His name is Sean. Scott comes up behind me and comes up and makes it his mission field. It's so exciting. And he's created a nickname for this guy. His name's Sean. He calls him Scooter. And And Scott says, hey, dude, you should come to our church. And he starts talking about all the cool things about the Lord. And this guy named Sean says, that's really nice of you, but I don't believe in God, so we probably won't be going. And then Marshall, my hero, he comes up and bats third. And he says, well, you don't believe in God, but do you believe in Russians? And we were having the Russians come to our church. I swear to God, that's exactly how they went down. And I'm just marveling at this whole thing. That should not have worked at all. But we have been meeting at that place, not trying to win him to the Lord, but he's just seen us, and he sat down. I came in early, and he was over there, and I just said, hey, can I hang out with you? None of my friends are here. And I just sat down with him, and he said, he told us how he wants to come to church, how he was raised in church, but he's totally fallen out of that. Just religion has turned him off. But just seeing us hang out, he was seeing us connect with each other. He was seeing us be friends. He said these words, I'm going to come to your church. I can't come this Sunday, but next Sunday, I'm going to come to your church. And he said this, volunteers it. He says, I haven't been excited to go to church in a long time. Let me tell you, Sean is not just a one case thing. He's not a singular case. There are people all over this, all over the landscape of your life. If you'll just be their friend, if you as a person connecting with God will connect with him, God connects with him. And it's powerful. And you have no idea what God does. And let me tell you, that's the most exciting thing in the world. That is more exciting than preaching a sermon. Am I right?
Yes.
It's more exciting than preaching a sermon, leading worship. We've done all of that. Let me tell you, connecting someone with Jesus, that's where it's at. Get pumped. That, I'm telling you, that is where it's at. You really want to see just God at work. Where it's at. So get into that. All right. We have all kinds of stuff going on. Everyone here was at Plano, so you know to pray for the Goal Youth. I'm serious about that. Pray for Goal Youth. Oh, not you guys. Pray for Goal Youth. You got off. Well, everyone that matters. I'm just kidding. That's pretty much it. Bruce, I forgot. You're just always there, man. So pray for Goal Youth. I mean, those kids don't know Jesus, but they know Scott, so they can start to know Jesus.
So pray double for
him. Pray for double. he's nicknamed them all Scooter. I don't know. He's very unoriginal when it comes to nicknames. All right. We have the I Am series. I hope you've been enjoying that on the progressive revelation of God in the Connect groups. Make sure you're at that. And we are going to be back here in 2 weeks. We've also got something called Redemption Class, and we love it. It's a place where all your questions about Redemption Church, what we believe, how to get involved, how to be a member, all that kind of stuff. You go to Redemption Class, and you get all that stuff answered. And you just let us know, or you can text us. I mean, there's a million ways you can, not a million, but there's at least three ways you can let us know. Slide over exaggeration. All right, and God is really doing stuff. Here's what I know, and this is the final thing I'm going to say. You can't see everything that God's doing. You can't see everything. If you could see everything that God's doing, God would be not as big as he is. No. God would be kind of simple and dinky. I can see everything that my three-year-old is up to. He's pretty predictable. He wants to get into stuff and wreck it and eat candy, right? But with God, God is at work in places you have no idea where he's at work. So have faith. Act and just watch him do that, because he's probably talking to that person that you are feeling. In fact, I'm telling you, try it, because God's already talking to that person. And there's a reason God's dealing with you to talk to that person.
Faith is the assurance of things unseen.
It's absolutely unseen, but you can be sure in it, walk out in it. So walk out in that. It's really exciting. And everyone that's not here, and Bruce, y'all be sure to tell them Lisha and Nissa and let them know that we had a great time. I really felt the presence of God here. I just love just the openness of worshiping in this space. I just love that. And I believe, I said that was the final thing I said. This is the final thing I said. I'm so sorry.
Sure.
I'm a preacher. The final thing I'm going to say is, when we're worshiping in this place, there's no telling what it's doing to this community.
Well, let's claim it, actually.
Absolutely. I believe we're just pushing back the darkness. I believe that the Lord is doing that. I think he's doing great things with you guys. God bless y'all. Love you guys. Y'all are awesome.
I heard a neat thing on the radio today that we were saved. Same silence.
silent.
So what's Tyler? Is he okay to have to leave?
Oh.